Today is a very special day in Christendom. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Tell somebody it's Pentecost Sunday. All right, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm starting a two-part series. Yes, I said two-part series on the power of Pentecost. And this series is what is going to be what I call a Napoleon series. Okay, what's a Napoleon series? It's a series that's short but powerful. Okay, this is going to be a Napoleon series. It's going to be short, but it's going to be powerful. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at the power of Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday is an important day for us as Christians because the day of Pentecost marks the birthday of the church. It happened in one Sunday morning, in fact, in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago. It was the day of Pentecost, and God poured out His Holy Spirit on a small handful of believers, and in one day, 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's where the church began. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to have some more days like that when God pours out His Holy Spirit on a handful of people. And we see thousands of people come to Jesus Christ in a single day. And I am just crazy enough to believe that it happened in the book of Acts, it can happen today. If it happened in Jerusalem, it can happen in Goldsboro. All right, so let's talk about the day of Pentecost. Just to give you a basic timeline, Jesus was crucified, and then on the third day, after 3 days, God raised Him from the dead. And over the course of about 40 days, Jesus walked the earth with His disciples, teaching them, okay, and telling them about things to come. Then Jesus goes up into heaven, and just a few days later, a group of 120 believers are praying in an upper room in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And that was the day of Pentecost. So Jesus is crucified, raised from the dead, teaches His disciples, ascends into heaven, and then the day of Pentecost comes. Okay, so that's the timeline, and we talked about kind of what happened, but we're going to get in detail over the next couple weeks about what took place on the day of Pentecost. And technically, you know, we talk about Pentecostal churches, but technically, every church is really a Pentecostal church because the church began on the day of Pentecost. So no matter what denomination, no matter what flavor of Christianity you are, we trace our roots back to what happened on that day in Jerusalem. And even though all churches can trace their beginning back to the day of Pentecost, there is a missing element, unfortunately, that a lot of churches don't have, and is something that Jesus said we need, and it's the power of Pentecost. So that's why we're going to look at the power of Pentecost today and next Sunday. But this morning, I want to focus on the Holy Spirit. Okay, somebody say the Holy Spirit. All right. In the Bible, we know that God is one God, yet we see God as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. And that's what we call the Trinity of God, the triunity of God. One God revealed Himself in three persons as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you, and with your natural mind, if you can comprehend the Trinity, then I want to get your autograph after service this morning. Because here's the thing, that when it comes to the nature of God and when it comes to deep spiritual things, there are some things that our human minds just cannot fathom. Okay, and when I think about the Trinity, even though I can't figure it out, I know what the Bible says and I believe it by faith. So sometimes you just have to say, God, I can't figure You out, but I'm going to have faith that Your word is true. Anybody ever had a moment like that? When I sit there and think about the concept of eternity, that time always was and always will be, I don't know about you, but my head wants to explode. When I think about the idea of infinity, that the universe just keeps going and going and going forever, I just want to lay down in the floor and just cry because I can't, my brain can't handle that. And you see, the Bible says that God has put eternity in the hearts of man that we would know that He is God. So there are infinite things about God that we cannot comprehend with our human brains, but God has done that on purpose so we know that He's God and we're not. So the Trinity is one of those things, and without oversimplifying, here's how I like to look at the Trinity. God the Father, that's God above us. The Son, that's God before us, as our example, as our Savior, but the Holy Spirit is God inside of us. So the Father is God above us, the Son is God before us, but the Holy Spirit is God within us. And we're going to focus on who the Holy Spirit is this morning. I dare say that the Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood and often ignored members of the Trinity. Even though the Holy Spirit is predominant in Scriptures from beginning to end, when we study the Bible, most of the time we tend to focus on the Father and the Son, and oftentimes it's easy to overlook the Holy Spirit. Okay, and you know, why is the Holy Spirit often ignored? I think maybe one reason is that some people have had negative experiences when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There have been times in my life where people have said some things to me, or they've done some things to me, and they said, the Holy Spirit is telling me to say this or telling me to do this. Now listen, God has given us the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that if it happened in the Bible, it happens today because it's the same God of the Bible. I believe in prophecy. I believe in miracles. I believe in signs and wonders. But there have been times in my life where somebody came to me and said, I'm going to prophesy to you. I have a word from God for you. And they begin to tell me all of these things. And they begin to tell me that you've made some decisions in your life, and these are some things that you've done, and God's not going to bless you until you do differently. And they were saying that, and I was just smiling and listening, saying, amen, praise the Lord. And not one single thing they told me was true about my life. That is not called prophesying. That's called prophelying, all right? Listen, so I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life where I struggled. You know, God, how can this person say that and say that it's your Holy Spirit when I know that these things aren't true? So maybe you've got a little baggage. Maybe you had a negative experience when somebody did something that wasn't of God, but they said it was of the Holy Spirit. Maybe another reason why we don't focus on the Holy Spirit a lot is sometimes there's a generational language barrier when it comes to the Holy Spirit. When I grew up in church, we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Ghost. Anybody grow up talking about the Holy Ghost, okay? When I was a kid, that scared me to death. I was like, Lord, have mercy. We got ghosts in the church. This church is haunted. Mama, don't make me go back anymore. And you see, I think sometimes it's a little bit of a language barrier. We say Holy Ghost because that's how the King James Bible in 1611, that's how they translated the word spirit as ghosts. And what you need to understand is that 400 years ago now, the word ghost and the word spirit were used in opposite of how we use them in our culture today. So we talk about spirit, that's one thing. Spirit, that's the unseen realm, that's the supernatural. We talk about ghosts, we're thinking Casper's coming to get me, okay? But it was the opposite in Great Britain 400 years ago. Their term spirit was more of like haunted house kind of sense, and the word ghost was more of a spiritual unseen realm. So it's really the opposite today. And I'm not knocking the King James Bible. Listen, every scripture I memorized is in the King James language, but I tend to use the word spirit rather than ghost because that's how the original Greek it's written. Okay, when you read the original Greek of the New Testament, it talks about the Holy Spirit. It's referring to a spiritual unseen existence. It's not referring to, you know, woo, scary ghost kind of thing. So listen, if you say Holy Ghost, I say amen. I love the Holy Ghost too because that's how I grew up. But when I teach the Bible, I refer to the Holy Spirit as spirit. And if you really want to get into the original language, in the Hebrew, the word for Holy Spirit is Ruach HaKodesh. And it literally means the holy breath of God. Now, I think that's pretty cool. The Ruach HaKodesh, the holy breath of God. Even that word Ruach, you have to breathe really hard to say that word. And the Holy Spirit in the Greek, in the Hebrew, the holy breath of God. And in the Greek language, which is the language of the New Testament, the term for the Holy Spirit is pneuma hagion. And that literally means the holy wind of God, okay? The pneuma hagion. That word pneuma is where we get the word pneumatic, wind-powered. He is the holy wind of God. And when you study the original languages without getting too deep and too off course this morning, you really understand a lot of deep principles about God, because when you see that he's the holy breath of God, the holy wind of God, you see that there's something going on here. And I want to focus on holy breath for just a moment. In the Hebrew culture, when somebody died, they would breathe their last breath, and with that last breath, the spirit departed the body. And when you read the original language, you see that that's how God has designed us. When we breathe our last breath, we're no longer a living soul. Our spirit has departed our body, and our body is dead. Okay, and I want you to understand this. In fact, the Bible says that when God created man, he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul, a living soul. But the Bible says repeatedly, when people breathe their last breath, they give up their spirit. And Jesus on the cross, he breathed his last, and the King James says he gave up the ghost. The Bible says he gave up his spirit. And what that tells me is that a body without the spirit is dead, no exceptions. And what that means for you and I, a church, the body of Christ, without the Holy Spirit, is dead. No exceptions, because the body cannot be alive apart from the Spirit. So a church without the Holy Spirit is D-E-D, dead. Maybe I'll get that later on. But listen, just as the body is dead without the Spirit, the church is dead without the Holy Spirit. I like what Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard Bonnke said, the less Holy Spirit you have, the more coffee and donuts it takes to keep the church going. So we need the Spirit of God to be alive as a church. So who is the Holy Spirit? Let's look back at John 14. Here in John chapter 14, Jesus had done something that really disturbed the disciples. He really made them upset, because he looked at them and he gave them disturbing news. He says, hey, I'm going away. Okay, I'm getting ready to leave you. Okay, and imagine how the disciples felt. They clung to Jesus. They depended on Jesus. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. And here Jesus says, I'm getting ready to leave. But Jesus said, even though I'm leaving, I won't leave you hanging. He said in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Notice that Jesus says another helper. He doesn't say just a helper. He says another helper. And what Jesus is saying, I'm sending you another helper just like me. So what Jesus was to the disciples, the Holy Spirit would be to them once he was crucified and raised from the dead. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. And he goes on to identify him in verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit, even though you can't see him, Jesus said he was already with the disciples, and not long from now he's going to be within you. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper. And in fact, he says it, and then later on, he says the same thing again in John 16, verse 7. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, this is a huge statement, because Jesus is saying, you're going to be better off if I leave so the Holy Spirit can come. And if Jesus said that, that's a pretty big deal. And because the Holy Spirit is a big deal, I want to tell you just a few things that you need to know about the Holy Spirit. Are you ready this morning? Number one, the Holy Spirit is God. And we've talked about that a little bit, but I just want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is God. It's not an it, it's not a thing, it's not a force. The Holy Spirit is God himself, okay? The Bible says that David said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So there's nowhere you can go where God's Spirit is not there also. Not only is he everywhere at all times, but he is all-knowing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So the Holy Spirit knows everything about the depth of God because he is God. Isaiah said, "Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor?" You might as well give it up because he already knows everything. He is all-knowing. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. Zechariah 4:6, God says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." So the Holy Spirit is powerful. In the day of creation, when God began to create the world, the Bible says that his Spirit was hovering over the waters. That means that the Holy Spirit was there, ready to execute what God said with power and with authority. So there's the Holy Spirit. He is all-powerful. Everything that Jesus did on the earth, everything he did in his ministry, he did only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that in the book of Acts, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So everything Jesus did is because of the power of the Spirit of God. Okay, so and if Jesus did everything he did in the power of the Holy Spirit, that tells me that everything we do or ever hope to do for God, we have to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's powerful, and the Bible directly refers to him as God. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter confronts Ananias, he said, "How has Satan filled your heart that you would lie to the Holy Spirit? For you haven't lied to man, you've lied to God." 1 John 5:7 says, "There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." Okay, so when you experience the Holy Spirit in your life, you are not just experiencing a force or a power, even though the Holy Spirit is powerful, but you are experiencing God himself. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a person, but not in the sense of he's a human being like us, but he's a person in the sense that he has a personality and he has unique characteristics and personal traits. How many of you guys have ever studied Spanish? Got a few of you. Okay, listen, if you've studied Spanish, you probably know about personal pronouns. Unless you didn't do very well in Spanish, you might not have learned that. But in Spanish, every noun has a personal pronoun. And I'm so sorry for going grammar school on you today. Some of y'all are just shutting me out already. But listen, let me hurry up. But in Spanish, every noun has a either masculine or feminine pronoun. Okay? For example, I would be El Pastor, right? El, masculine, right? I don't think so. I'm just a bunch of jello up here. But listen, I would be El Pastor, but the Bible would be La Biblia. So everything in the Spanish language either has an L or a la before it because it's either masculine or feminine. So really, if you wanted to directly translate literally every word, it would either be a he or a she, okay? All right, but in the Greek language, it's kind of like the English language. There's really, you know, there's such a thing as a neutral, okay? So in the Greek language, every word is either a he or a she or it. Okay, two of y'all figured it out. Good job. Give yourself a hand. All right, so it's either he, she, or it. And interestingly, in the Greek language, the word spirit is neutral. So anytime in the Greek language, when you have the word spirit, it has the neutral pronoun. It is not he, it is not she, it is it, okay? But everywhere in the Greek language, that's how it is, except in the Bible. Because when the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Greek language, it should be it, but every single time in the Bible, it's he. Okay, so that tells me God wanted to really strongly emphasize. He wanted us to get the message that the Holy Spirit is not he and not it, it's he, okay? And time again, we see these personal traits of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says that he speaks. In Romans 8, 28, he intercedes. And in John 15, 26, he testifies. In Acts chapter 16, he leads and directs. In Acts 20, 28, he appoints. In Ephesians 4, 30, we know that he can be grieved. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about an it or an impersonal force. We're talking about the personal presence of God himself. So number one, the Holy Spirit is God. Number two, and this is going to be an exciting one. You're going to enjoy this one. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. I'm going to take a survey, show of hands. How many of you would unashamedly say that I've made Jesus Christ my Savior and the Lord of my life? Just raise your hand high this morning. Okay, if you have your hand up this morning, guess what? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Come on, just give God praise for that this morning. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Okay, you say, but Pastor, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. Listen, the important thing is that you know that He's there. And if you didn't know, now you know, because I'm telling you this morning. But there are times in my life, listen, I love to feel the Holy Spirit. I love to feel His presence. I love to feel His power. I love to feel Him working in my life. But I'm going to just confess something to you this morning. I don't always feel the Holy Spirit. I don't feel His presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, okay, 365 days a year, every year. There are times in my life where even though I want to experience His power and feel His presence, there are seasons when I don't. Am I the only one, or can anybody else say I've gone through seasons like that in my life? Listen, I want to encourage you, even if you go through a time where you don't feel the Holy Spirit, you can trust what Jesus said. He's there. Okay, when I can't feel His presence, I trust that He's with me. I remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So even if you don't feel Him at times, you can know that He's there. Okay, so if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have the Holy Spirit, no questions asked. Okay, Pentecostal or non-Pentecostal? Assembly of God or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Church of God or Church of God of Prophecy or Church of God in Christ or Free Will Baptist or Original Free Will Baptist or Pentecostal Free Will Baptist. I don't care what flavor you are. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay? That's why I can fellowship with believers from any church background, because if they believe in the same Jesus that I believe in, that means that the Holy Spirit is inside of them working in their lives. Listen, Pentecostals, we don't have the patent on the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit doesn't belong to any particular denomination. He doesn't belong to any particular movement. We better all belong to Him. Because the Holy Spirit is God, and when you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit enters into your life and begins to work. Okay, and here's something else. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, your life is going to change. Okay? Come on. This means yes, this means no. Come on, y'all hook up with me somewhere. Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, your life is going to change. You can't help it. You have no choice. When He comes in, He gets to work. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. I'll just have to put it on Twitter later on today, all right? But listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't come when we change our lives. Our lives are changed when the Holy Spirit comes. So He is a changing, transforming aspect of God. Why is the Holy Spirit inside of us? Well, Jesus told us that, to help us. I'm going to send you another helper. Listen, some of you are, if you're struggling in this Christian life, if every day is a struggle, every day is a chore, every day is a burden, I need to let you know that you don't have to do this on your own, that you have a helper inside of you, and His name is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Listen, don't try this on your own, and don't try it by yourself. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, because he's our helper. He helps us. Where are you weak? Where are you struggling in life? Guess what? The Holy Spirit is there, ready and willing and wanting to help you. Okay, well, let's keep on going this morning. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Not only is he powerful, but he's personal. I like to refer to the Holy Spirit as the intimate side of God, the intimate aspect of God, because the Holy Spirit not only helps us know the intimate things about God, the Holy Spirit helps us discover who we are. It is through the Holy Spirit that we find our identity. It's through the Holy Spirit that we discover our purpose in life. What in the world has God put me on this earth to do? Guess what? The Holy Spirit will show you who you are and who God says you are, because he's our helper. He's there inside of us. So don't get your identity from your family. I'm just going to jump a little bit on that one, because I got some messed up folks in my family. And listen, I'm not going to identify just because mama had some issues and daddy had some issues and grandma had some issues and grandpa had some issues. And just because your great-great-granddaddy was a serial killer doesn't mean that you have to be a serial killer, because you don't get your identity from your earthly family. You find it in the Holy Spirit. You don't find your identity by talking to your friends and by reading People magazine. You don't find your identity by taking a Facebook quiz to tell you who you are. Let me tell you how you find out who you are is through the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let me keep going. Number one, the Holy Spirit is God. Number two, if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. But number three, this is about to get real interesting this morning. Number three, Jesus said, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now remember that we receive the Holy Spirit when we believe, but let's look back at how that happened for the disciples. John chapter 20, remember our timeline, okay? Jesus is crucified on the day of Passover. Then he's raised from the dead. He meets with his disciples. He ascends into heaven. 50 days after Passover is the day of Pentecost. And here in John chapter 20, this is right after Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, this is right after he rose from the dead, but before the day of Pentecost. Okay, John 20, verse 19, Jesus is raised from the dead and he appears to the disciples. John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. Now think about that. The doors are closed. The doors are locked. They're in a room. And boom, here Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but I would probably be looking for a change of pants about that time. And I think that's why Jesus said, peace be with you. Okay, I think they were climbing up the walls trying to get out of there because they thought a ghost was in the room. But Jesus says, peace be to you. In other words, y'all calm down. It's just me. Okay? And he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Remember that holy breath of God. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus appears to them for the first time after he's raised from the dead, the disciples see and they're like, oh, I get it now. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Son of God. You see, they believed that God had raised him from the dead. And in that moment that they believed, he gave them the Holy Spirit. This was the salvation experience for the disciples. If you know the Bible, you know that when Jesus was crucified, the disciples fell apart. They gave up all hope. Some of them were so scared. Even a little girl said, hey, didn't you follow Jesus? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know nothing about no Jesus, right? They were so scared that they ran away and they hid. And this is where they were in Jerusalem, hiding behind locked doors because they were so afraid. And then Jesus comes and says, here I am. And they said, oh, he really is the Son of God. And that's when they believe, they put their faith in him completely, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, and it's the same way that it happens for you and I. When we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we believe that God raised him from the dead, when we make him the Lord of our life and put our faith in him, we receive that same Holy Spirit that Jesus gave the disciples in Jerusalem. So we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And in that moment in John 21, when they believe in Jesus and he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit, let me ask you something. Were the disciples saved? Were the disciples Christians? Did they have the Spirit inside of them? Okay, so they, if the disciples died that night, they would have been in heaven, right? Because they were Christians. They were saved. Now, but look with me in Acts chapter 1. Okay, we're going to fast forward about 40 days later. Acts chapter 1. This is 40 days after Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus says something else. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, hold on a minute. Time out. Do you think Jesus forgot that he already gave them the Holy Spirit? Of course not. Jesus knew that they believed and he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, now there's something else. There's something more that I want you to have. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but you're about to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now think about that word. Baptism means immersion. So they had the Holy Spirit inside of them, but they were about to be inside of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the difference between receiving the Holy Spirit at salvation and being baptized in the Spirit is the same difference as drinking a glass of water and running and jumping in the Atlantic Ocean. Okay, when the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you at salvation, it's like drinking that glass of water. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's like Jesus takes you and just dunks you in that power from on high and immerses you. So you see, these are two separate experiences going on. You've got salvation when the Holy Spirit comes in, but Jesus says, wait a minute, you need this baptism in the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus commanded them to wait in Jerusalem, I'm going to ask y'all again, were the disciples already saved? Were the disciples already Christians? Okay, so they were born again. They already had the salvation experience before this time. And let me just go ahead and say this. They were not secondhand Christians. They were not second-class Christians. They were not God's stepchildren until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were fully children of God. Okay, there is one requirement for salvation, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The Bible doesn't say you have to speak in tongues to be saved. It doesn't say you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to make it into heaven. It says believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So salvation is not the issue, but Jesus said you still need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I want you to understand, so you know this before we go into next Sunday, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not about getting into heaven. And in fact, it has nothing to do with going to heaven because, and we'll talk about this next Sunday, when we get into heaven, we won't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit anymore. So it's not about heaven, it is about earth and your time on the earth and being an effective witness for Jesus Christ right here and right now. Okay, so Jesus said, you have the Holy Spirit, but y'all hang out in Jerusalem for a few more days because I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay, are y'all with me so far? All right, well, I'm going to keep on going. For the sake of time, we'll talk in great detail about the baptism in the Holy Spirit next Sunday, but I got one more point I want to make before we move on. Listen, just like water baptism is a choice, right? When you lift your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, I don't grab you and drag you upstairs and shove you underwater, okay? Baptism is a choice. Water baptism, you choose to be baptized. Now, Jesus wants us all to be baptized, but you have to make the decision. But the same way with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, Jesus is not going to chase you down and sit on you and hold you down and smack you in the face until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you have to make that choice. Jesus said that God would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him for it. And in that regard, we see that the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is not rude. The Holy Spirit is not abrasive. The Holy Spirit will never force Himself on anybody. And listen, if that's how the Holy Spirit rolls, that ought to be how we roll. We're not here to be abrasive or rude or forceful as believers. We're simply here to tell you the truth, and it's your responsibility to decide what you're going to do with that truth. Now that I said that, last point this morning, number four, the Holy Spirit helps us when we rely on Him. If you want the Holy Spirit to help you, you have to yield to Him and allow Him to help you. There again, the Holy Spirit is gentle. There are times when I sit down with people and we go through counseling, and I sometimes tell them, you know, this is what the Bible says. This is what you need to do. You need to stop doing this and start doing that. And after 5 months of me telling them, you need to stop doing this and start doing that, and they're not doing this and they're still doing that, I just want to, the spirit of slap just comes all over my hand, and I have to sit on my hand because I get frustrated, and I just want to say, hey, stop doing this and start doing that. Don't look at me like y'all don't ever get frustrated with people. Listen, sometimes I'm smiling on the outside and screaming on the inside, okay? But listen, I said all that to say, the Holy Spirit knows what's wrong in your life. He knows what you need to stop doing, and He knows what you need to start doing. But the Holy Spirit's not going to slap you upside the face. He's going to convict you. He's going to say, hey, stop doing this and start doing that. But the Holy Spirit can't help you if you don't cooperate and yield to Him and allow Him to help you in your life. So when you hear the Holy Spirit speak, don't ignore that voice. Listen to what He says, because He's our helper. Okay? The Holy Spirit helps us when we rely on Him. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Okay? They are the children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And so many times I see people who desperately want an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Anybody been desperate for the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but I have. Many times in my life, I've been hungry for the Holy Spirit, and this is where I've missed it sometimes. I think, well, you know, if I read 500 chapters of the Bible every single day, then the Holy Spirit's going to come in my life. If I pray for 55 hours every single day, if I pray 2 hours every hour, the Holy Spirit's going to come into my life. If I volunteer more at church, if I spend more hours at church, if I spend more time helping people, then the Holy Spirit's going to show up in my life. But let me tell you something that's going to help you, and it helped me. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, whoever believes in Me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Listen, flow is not something that is forced. Flow happens naturally. And if you want the Holy Spirit to be active in your life, if you want to feel His presence and feel His power, here's what you do. You stop working and you start yielding. You say, okay, God, I'm gonna just stop trying to do what I do, and I'm going to get still. I'm going to be still and know that You're God, and I'm going to listen to You. The Holy Spirit is already inside of you. You know He's there by faith. All you have to do is yield. Stop working and start waiting and start yielding to the Holy Spirit. He is there to help us. And I'm almost done. Just one more minute and we're going to pray. But listen, Christianity is not hard. It's impossible. Christianity is not hard. It's impossible. Every other world religion says you can do this and you can do that and you'll be accepted. You pray these prayers. You go on a pilgrimage. You obey these rules. That every other religion says there is a set of things that you can do to be accepted to God. But Christianity says come and die, okay? Come and die. Christianity is not hard. It's impossible. You can't do this on your own. And that's exactly why God gave us the Holy Spirit. You'll never make it trying to serve God by your own human effort. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit inside of you. Maybe there's an area of sin where you're struggling. Maybe there's an area of weakness in your life. Listen, the key to overcoming that is for you to stop fighting and start surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Listen, we don't have the power to fight sin on our own. That's why we have to rely not on our own power, but the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that He is the power that works within us. Maybe you work with difficult people. Now, I don't know why I see church staff members wanting to say amen to that, but maybe you work with a difficult person. Maybe you have a tough boss. Maybe you have a coworker that y'all just don't get along. You don't blend well together. Listen, you cannot deal with that person in your own strength. You try, you will lose your mind. Listen, you can't fix a bad boss. I've tried. I've fasted and I've prayed and I've had conversations and heart to hearts and banged my head against the wall. Listen, you can't fix the other person. You need the Holy Spirit to help you deal with them, okay? So when you're facing tension at work, the answer is not to start cussing, okay? We can't be cussing Christians. When you're facing tension at work, you know what you need to do? You need to go say, Holy Spirit, I can't deal with them right now. Lord, I need you. You to help me. He is our helper in every single area of life. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for giving us a helper, for giving us a comforter to help us live this Christian life. And Lord, I thank you that even when we feel powerless, we have the greatest power in the universe inside of us. We have the power of the very Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in my life. I thank you for your presence in this church and your presence in this room this morning. Holy Spirit, may we never forget that you are with us. May we never lose sight of how so desperately we need you every single day. And Holy Spirit, forgive us for the times we've tried to do this on our own. Lord, forgive us for the times when you've spoken to us and said, you know what, I want to help you. Don't do this, do that. God, forgive us for the times we've ignored your voice. Help us this morning, Holy Spirit, to open our ears to what you would say. Lord, to be sensitive to what you say. God, that we would learn to yield to your Spirit and to follow you. Lord, we surrender to you this morning. Come on, just lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you in my life. Come on, let's just pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, open up our ears to hear the things that you would say to us. God, open up our spiritual eyes to see. Holy Spirit, may we learn to lean on you more than we've ever leaned on you before. May we learn to rely on you more than we ever have before, Spirit of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you used to rely on the Holy Spirit. Maybe when you first became a Christian, you were so in love with the Holy Spirit. He was always speaking, always working, always moving. Listen, God is calling you to a closer level this morning. He's calling you to a deeper walk, closer than you've ever been to the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we learn to lean on you and depend upon you every moment of every day. Because, Lord, it's not our strength, it's not our power, but it's your power working inside of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you're dealing with people's hearts this morning. God, I pray for those who are here this morning and Jesus is not the Lord of their life. Lord, I thank you that you're here to move on their hearts, to let them know that you love them and care about them. You're not here to condemn them. You're not here to push them away. You're here to save them and to set them free and to break the power of sin off of them. You're here to take away their past and give them a future. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving and working in this room this morning. Lord, I thank you for drawing people to the cross, for drawing people to Jesus Christ today. If you're here this morning and Jesus is not the Lord of your life and you want to make that choice, you want to make him the Lord of your life, you want the Holy Spirit to help you, will you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Lord, I pray for those who've raised their hand this morning. Lord, I thank you that they had the boldness to say, I need Jesus in my life. Lord, I thank you that they're not here by accident or by mistake, but Lord, you led them here this morning for this moment in time because this is the day of salvation for them. This is the day of freedom for them. And I thank you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, not to die for my sins, but to die for all of our sins, to take away the sins of the world. I thank you, Lord, that we can be free from the power of sin because of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, not only did he die on the cross, but you raised him from the dead, that Jesus is alive forevermore, ready to be the Lord of our lives. If you're here today and you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, I'm going to lead you in just a simple prayer. In fact, repeat after me. In fact, let's all say this prayer out loud this morning. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I make you the Lord of my life this morning. So Jesus, by faith, I receive your love. I receive your mercy. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive your Holy Spirit to help me from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. You made that decision. You made the greatest decision of your lifetime today. There is no better life. There's no other way than living for Jesus Christ. If you will, I want to ask the prayer team to come forward today as we get ready to leave. Everybody else, guys, you can stand to your feet for just a moment. But there was a Sunday school teacher who asked her Sunday school class, she said, I want to ask you this, were any of you born Christians? And little boy raised his hand and said, no, ma'am, I was born normal. Listen, this Christian life is not a normal life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, normal is no longer an option. Because you don't belong to the world, you don't belong to the devil, you don't belong to sin, you belong to God. I don't know about you, but I tried normal one time and normal wasn't working, okay? I thank God that Jesus gives us another way to live. So when you put your faith in him, the Bible says that you're a new creation, you're a new person, you have a brand new identity in Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're gonna leave this morning, and as I dismiss, if you have a prayer need in your life, we've got men and women who are ready to pray for you today. But as we get ready to leave, will you make this declaration with me? Come on, I want you to say this. I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm set free. My past is gone, and my future is bright in Jesus. Come on, say this out loud. I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus. I am his, and he is mine. And right now, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me to help me. Come on, just praise him a minute for that today. Praise God. If you've made Jesus your Savior, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Now, next Sunday, we're going to tarry in Jerusalem, and we're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I want to challenge you. Make sure that you're here next Sunday morning. In fact, bring somebody with you, because I believe that God is going to revolutionize somebody's relationship with Jesus Christ. So next Sunday, we're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what it was in the Bible, what it means for us, all right? So this week, I want you to be in expectation, anticipation, because I believe that God's going to do something this coming Sunday. I believe that we're going to have a rushing mighty wind from heaven blow through this place, and I believe the power of God is going to fall on us. Praise God. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you again for your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for those who are here this morning and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have given him your Holy Spirit, that you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us every single day. And this week, God, as we go, may we not rely on our own power, but may we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, may we know that you're with us always. May we yield to you and rely on you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. If you need prayer, the altar team is ready.